Hello, everyone. Good morning. A few of you know me, and some of you know my name, and many of you know me as the father of all those wonderful children. For those who don't know, my name is Dave Turner. I'm here to share my story with you today. I'd actually wanted to document my story before Darcy had told me or asked me to come here and share it with you today. And I use this as an opportunity to actually get that work done, because I knew I would never get around to it. I'm not as prepared as I would like to have been. You know, life has gotten in the way. There's been many distractions. So last night I was finishing writing up my presentation that I'm about to give to you. And as a result, I have some of my information written in point form and some of it written out in long form. So you'll have to bear with me and we'll see how it goes. My family and I have been coming to the river for over a year and a half now. What most of you don't know is that I did not accept Christ as my Savior until May 7th of this year. So here's my story. And as been mentioned, music has been a big part of my story. It's been something that has drawn me to church, something that has inspired me and given me insight into a lot of the aspects of my life. So first I'll start off with giving you a bit of background. As I grew up, my dad is an ordained Anglican minister. While he never had a parish of his own in my memory, he was also a high school teacher and counselor. He was somewhat of a substitute priest for many parishes, and from Sunday to Sunday, he traveled here and there taking over services for ministers that couldn't perform due to holidays or sickness, that sort of thing, as well as doing the occasional wedding and funeral and visits to the hospital and retirement centers. My mother was raised Baptist, and she resented the hypocrisy she saw in the church and rarely went to church herself. Our family was not expected to go to church on a regular basis. However, Easter and Christmas were mandatory. I was raised with two older natural sisters, two long-term foster brothers, closer to my age, but both older. And I've had over 350 other foster brothers and sisters as my parents ran a receiving home. We lived on a 10-acre hobby farm in the South Okanagan in Oliver. The times that I did attend church, I never really understood much of it. The language was hard to understand. It seemed that everyone knew what they were supposed to do and what was going on, and I was uncomfortable asking questions. I myself am somewhat introverted. I like to sit back and observe. I'm not very outgoing. I'm very analytical by nature. And then throughout my childhood, I was strongly drawn to math and sciences. I can remember starting to create a belief system very early in my life. I can remember trying to figure things out when I was 5 years old. My belief system continued to develop and evolved over the next 30 to 40 years into quite a complex and what I thought a thorough self-religion. Although I thought my childhood, throughout my childhood, that I did not believe in a higher power, in my late teens and early 20s, that changed, and I began to believe in a higher power, but I refrained from the use of the word or name God to describe my higher power, and Jesus did not enter into my belief system until very recently. My story actually begins in the second half of 2009. Darlene and I had been together for 13 years. We had many challenges in our relationship in that time. We have, and still do, have chosen homeschooling, which has created all kinds of financial stress within our relationship as a family of six struggling to make it on a single income. We also have very different personality styles. As I mentioned, I'm a very thinking individual. Darlene is a very feeling individual and has made it very difficult for us to communicate and understand each other. So at this time, Darlene was pregnant with Malin. We had already had Hayden, Bronwyn, and Rowan. We lived out in the mountains, about 35 minutes east of Osuyas and 20 minutes west of Rock Creek, quite remote. We lived in the mountains. We had 11 acres of forest in the forest and about a half a dozen neighbors in the area. Darlene was homeschooling our children. We lived naturally connected with the earth. We farmed. We used only wood heat, and I hunted in the fall to gather meat for the winter. I was working for a large landscape company based in the interior, and I traveled all over the interior doing large projects. So when I was working, I was away for the entire week and only home on weekends. Other than that winter when I was laid off and I spent the winter at home when we'd get 3.5 feet of snow. So with Darlene's pregnancy with Malin, she had some complications. She had an ovarian cyst that grew to a considerable size, which greatly affected her mobility and comfort. And as a result, in late September, I chose to be laid off early so that I could go home and help out. Having never had so much time at home before, I ended up getting involved in the community, and I joined a group that was fighting the school board, oddly enough, for a family that homeschooled. Within that group, a leader had emerged, Mark Danilek. He was a local church pastor, and he made quite an impression on me. I was inspired to attend church. In order to maintain a sense of community that I had developed in fighting with this group, and once I had returned to work, I would no longer have the luxury of the time that was required to do that. One obstacle I had to attending his church was that I didn't believe in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be hypocritical, I thought? Pondering the notion of Jesus Christ, I came to accept that Jesus was an aspect of God and represented humanity's connection with God. I considered this a huge breakthrough in my own spirituality and understanding of Christianity. Darlene and I met with Mark to explain our beliefs and whether or not we would be accepted in his church. Mark assured us that we would be accepted and went on to tell the story of a couple of monks from a nearby Buddhist temple that had attended his church for a period of time. So we started attending Boundary Community Church in Midway, some 20, 30 minutes from our home. When we first started attending there, we knew many of the people that were in the church already. There was the Dunhams, a similar-sized family. In fact, he was a landscaper from the South Okanagan, Penticton, which is where I worked. I had actually worked for his father for a year. They homeschooled as well, and Darlene and his wife bonded quite strongly even before going to church. There was Sigrid and Joost and their many children who we had met in Oliver when we were living there, and they lived. They had since moved on to a nearby community and attended that same church. There were the Sewards, another larger family, and that was actually the family who we bought our place from. And we maintained a strong connection with. There was even an old family friend who I hadn't seen since my childhood, Fred Marshall. It was a different type of church from what I was used to. The sermons were more like counseling sessions than teachings from the Bible. The music was not the hymns that I had grown up with and had trouble understanding, but it was inspirational music. And there's one song that they played more than any other almost every week, and as you'll find out, enters my life later on, so I'd like to play that song for you now, until the point that it was actually over 4 liters in size. You can imagine a 1 gallon milk jug. They couldn't operate because of recently having had given birth and had to wait. We waited for some time, and eventually the cysts ruptured when we were up on the mountain there. We were an hour and a half away from a hospital, and we didn't even have a vehicle that would seat all of our entire family. After the operation was performed, I still stuck around home for a while to help out as Darlene's mobility and strength increased. In total, I was off work for 8 months. We had accumulated quite a debt load, which shouldn't have been any problem because the company that I worked for, when I returned in the spring, I would to be expecting a rather large bonus that would all but take care of that debt load. Well, I returned back to work in April, which is late. There was no bonus, and I was laid off after 4 weeks. That's when we decided to move to the coast, or at least I would start working in the coast for a chance to work year-round, because that with the debt load that we had, there was no way that we were going to be able to survive another winter. I started working for a company in North Vancouver, and I commuted back and forth for over 9 months, just going home every other weekend. I would work one weekend so that I could take extra days off the following weekend and travel home to be with my family. During this time, I continued to attend the Boundary Church. But after about 6 months, Darlene had decided she'd had enough and wanted to put this property up for sale. I reluctantly agreed. The property had been our dream for many years. But I missed my wife and my children, and we put it up for sale. The next step was Darlene had actually sourced and found some affordable housing on the North Shore in North Vancouver. In fact, a 2-bedroom house detached for $1,200 a month. It was incredible. The house was on Hope Road. So we moved our family down. It was only 3 minutes from our office. I couldn't remember the last time that I could be home every evening for dinner. We furnished our house from Craigslist. And I came to the realization that our family being together was much more valuable than the dream of having our land in the woods. One of the most difficult parts about leaving our home was leaving the church. And it left me with a strong void in my life. And that brings us to my next song. We moved to North Vancouver and found renters for our home. We found a couple with children. Unfortunately, they proved to be unstable and left, which left us paying our rent in North Vancouver and our mortgage back at home, which we couldn't afford, put us further into debt, and subsequently created more stress on our relationship. We found another renter. We had agreed to enter into a lease with this person. After agreeing to enter into the lease, we had an offer on the house. Darlene did some research on the person that wanted to rent her house and found out that she actually wasn't a very desirable renter. We decided to take the offer on the house, and we paid the individual compensation for breaking the lease that we hadn't even signed yet, but to be free of conscience and being able to move forward. Around this time, I discovered Ardeal, which is an online music site where you can look up any number of songs of all types. And I enjoyed creating a playlist based on songs from my history, from my past. With the sale of our house going through, we took one final trip to our house in the mountains to gather our belongings. On the way back from that trip, traveling through the Fraser Valley, we got tired of listening to the CDs that we were listening to, and I turned on the radio. The song that was playing was "How Great Was Our God." So when we got back home, I started developing a new playlist based on Christian inspirational songs. And I listen to it all the time. I still do. At last count, I was at over 10,000 plays on that playlist. Well, myself and the family. Shortly after that, we received notice to leave our place in North Vancouver. Looking around, there wasn't much we could afford in North Vancouver, so we made a decision to look in Squamish. About that time, I had a visit in North Vancouver from Mark Danilek, our old pastor. At that point, we had decided to move to Squamish, and I asked Darlene that when we get there, if we could find a church that we could start attending. And that'll bring us to our next song. Is that better? There we are. All of this created more financial stress. And at this point, we were reaching the outer limits of our credit, available credit. It created more marital problems. Darlene and I were having quite difficult times when we first moved to Squamish. At the same time, Darlene had found the River Church online. Really liked the presentation there, and we began to attend the River. We requested a meeting with Darcy and Kenda about attending the River and selecting a house church. We had a discussion with them regarding spirituality and religion. We described ourselves as spiritual, but not religious, and had a similar conversation as we had had previously with Mark Danilek. We were placed with Anne and Mario's church, house church in Ballycliff, and it was a good fit for us, particularly with lots of kids, and Anne and Mario were a great hosts. With the stress, ongoing stress in our relationship, we requested counseling with Kenda and Darcy, and we did a lot of counseling one-on-one with Darlene and Kenda and myself and Darcy, plus an occasional joint session. As time went on, Darcy and my counseling sessions took on a spiritual focus. With Darcy's guidance, I tried out perceiving God as a person, which was a foreign concept to my belief system. And what I immediately recognized was a change in my relationship and perception of God, whereas before I saw it as a connection, a stagnant, inanimate thing, had now changed to a relationship that is dynamic and required effort. An investment would result in strengthening and neglect in weakness. Darlene and I had a really big blow-up, and I had had enough. Darlene had had enough, and we seriously contemplated separating. Meanwhile, at work, I got an iPhone. And excited about the ability to have music, inspirational music, with me at work, I opened up iTunes and looked up spiritual songs. And the first one to catch my eye was the song Family by Toby Mac. This song inspired me to renew the struggle to keep our family together. Here's that song. I found an app for the Bible. I had previously attempted many times to read the Bible, but I found it too difficult to read. And at that time, I only knew of the King James Version. Reading is very difficult for me. I read for information only. But I always had a belief that if I could just read through the Bible, I could gain some understanding about Christianity. So I began listening to the Bible every day on my drive home. The story of Moses troubled me. I couldn't understand why God spoke to and only through Moses. Why wouldn't he speak to the masses? What made Moses so special? I found this very troubling. And then one day it dawned on me. It was about humility. And humility being the key to an honest relationship with God. If God spoke to each and every one of us directly at our will, where would the humility be in that? I mean, it's God. There would be no... It would actually boost your ego. The ego acts as a filter and it distorts our vision, often for no other reason to justify itself. So this was my first real understanding of the purpose of Jesus in the Christian religion. I'm being analytical, I'm always preoccupied with the function and purpose of things. I need to understand it before I can come to accept it. So I listened to the Bible every day on my commute for about 6 months. I met with Darcy periodically and discussed many of the ideas and stories and meanings along the way. Darlene and I still struggled with our relationship, and I started struggling with depression. Whenever we would have a prolonged eruption, I would fall into a bout of depression. And the periods of depression were getting longer and the depression were getting deeper. While in depression, I would stop listening to the Bible and my music. I had a, from my perception, total disconnection with God. Often when Darlene and I would fight, I would not be able to sleep. So in the middle of the night, I would leave the house and go to my office in North Vancouver to contemplate the situation, do research on the internet, and pray. Usually I would come to some understanding by morning, an insight that would allow me and enable me to communicate better with Darlene and deal with the problem in a constructive way. Once, after a week-long bout with depression, Darlene and I had a fight, and I left the office. The depression was very concerning, as I couldn't seem to shake it. I decided to make a doctor appointment and get treatment. After no sleep and a full day's work, I went to the doctor and explained my situation. He prescribed me sleeping pills and antidepressant medication. I went home and laid down on the couch. I looked up and I saw a bright light. I was filled with energy and my depression was gone. You could say that the experience was brought on by the lack of sleep or stress, but I hadn't taken any medication yet. And the antidepressants wouldn't have even taken effect for over a week of taking them. Then all the next week, I could feel this energy within me, and I walked around with a smile for the entire week. I had told Hayden, our oldest child, that I had had an epiphany. He told Darlene that she needed to have an epiphany too. And she told him that she had had many. And he told her, "No, you need one like Dad's." So I took the antidepressant medication for a few days and stopped. The sleeping pills I took for the entire week, as they were helpful, and I get limited sleep as it is. I continued listening to the Bible every day over the winter, and come spring, I had realized the function of Christ and many of his teachings. I learned about humility in our relationship with God and others. I learned about forgiveness necessary for our own self-worth and the health of society. I learned about the warnings against judgment and hypocrisy, about love, loving God, one another, and even our enemy. So why was it that I could not know Jesus himself? Why couldn't I accept him into my heart as I wanted? After years of attending church, what was keeping me from believing in Jesus? First of all, I had the challenge of trying to abandon a belief system that I had adopted and developed for almost 40 years. Would this mean that I had wasted all that time? Secondly, what was I looking to gain by accepting Christ? I don't think I even really knew. Over the next few weeks, I contemplated all of this, looking for answers. At this point, I knew I wanted to accept Christ, and even that I would accept Christ. But how? And when? I met with Darcy occasionally during this time, and I had completely stopped listening to the Bible while I was contemplating. Darcy and I would meet, and at the end of each session, Darcy would lead us in prayer, which he always did. After each session, I would have one or more experiences directly related to the prayer that was said the session before. These instances increased in frequency and intensity over time. Once in prayer, Darcy asked that I be able to discern things that I do not know. During the following week, I had many experiences relating to that prayer. The very next day, at work, I went to Rona to pick up some supplies for a project. The parking lot was crowded, and I pulled in next to a newer car. It was a bit tight, and when I got out of my car, the door bumped the car next to me. It left a small mark, not even a quarter of an inch long. I immediately thought to myself, this guy is going to key my door. I was sure of it. I contemplated the situation, considering moving my car to another spot, but felt that that was overreacting. I mean, this happens hundreds of times in parking lots all over the city every day. I contemplated leaving a note as I felt guilty, but I thought that that would only draw attention to the mark and possibly instigate or contribute to the retaliation that I felt was imminent. The mark would certainly go unnoticed, and it was really quite tiny. I may actually create or initiate a self-fulfilling prophecy. So I did as many others do every day and just left my car where it was and went into the store. In the store, I completely forgot about the incident. And it wasn't until I came back outside that I remembered. Immediately, I looked to see if anything had happened. From a distance, I saw the car beside me had left. I was wondering what the owner might have done to my car. I looked to see if there might be a note on my windshield. No, there wasn't a note. Remembering my windshield was cracked, I wonder if the owner might have smashed it further. As I came closer, I saw that that wasn't the case. As I approached, I assessed the headlights, signal lights, tires, etc., and nothing. Once I got right up to the car, I saw the door of my car near the keyhole had been keyed, just as I had originally suspected and even knew. In the beginning, I could have moved the car, as was my first thought, but then I would never have known whether or not it would have been keyed as I had suspected it would be. All the time, I couldn't understand why I was obsessing over this and genuinely thought it was all in my head. Any other day, I probably wouldn't have noticed the mark on the other car or even the key mark on my own car and would have driven off, never knowing what had happened. On that weekend, I was driving Bronwyn to her swimming lessons at Brennan Park with all the children in the car as Mum was at work. As we were nearing Brennan Park, I commented to the kids, I wonder if they'll ever have that recycle fair again. For those who have never gone, the recycle fair is like a huge yard sale where everything is free. And we had had a lot of fun going there the year before. Well, we came around the corner and there was a sign. The recycle fair was taking place that day. I hadn't thought about the fair for months. We don't have TV, I don't generally read the newspaper, and I only listen to the CBC once in a while in the morning on my way to work. I had absolutely no idea that they were even having a fair again, much less that weekend. Later that same day, I was driving with Hayden and forgotten my headset for my phone. I'd been driving for a bit when it occurred to me that I wouldn't be able to answer the phone if it rang. I handed my phone to Hayden and told him to take it in case Darcy called. Just as I handed Hayden the phone, it rang. And it was Darcy. Other insights were made clear to me about personal issues that I had discussed with Darcy and which the prayer was originally intended. On Sunday, May 5th, Anne at House Church, after House Church, had given me the name of a song that she had come across and found to be inspirational and told me to look it up. I would like it. I immediately knew there was a message in it for me. When I got home, I looked up the song on Ardeo and tried listening to it, but was otherwise distracted. Darlene was working, I was taking care of the children, and had a lot going on in my personal life. The song played on in the background, and I listened at first, but was distracted before I could hear the message or find any real inspiration. I tried again a few times the next day with the same result. All I heard were some stories about the New Testament, and then the song faded into the background. Around this time, I was struggling with the concept of heaven. The concept seemed to me too convenient. Death is a concept I had dealt with a long time ago, in 1991, when my mother died. It was painful, but I had come to terms with it, and in doing so, my own mortality as well. I had developed my own belief system that satisfied my needs without denying death, as it seemed that other religions would have you believe in the form of heaven or reincarnation. It seemed to me like the idea of heaven was held out as a carrot for those who believed and lived a good life would never have to face death. A reward for being a good Christian. Is this the reason for it all? The promise of everlasting life, is that why people are Christians? What about being Christian for the sake of having a relationship with God or just being a good person? And if the promise of heaven isn't my motivation for wanting so badly to accept Christ, then what is it? I didn't even know. On May 7th, I met with Darcy, and after discussing my present-day situations, I shared my thoughts on the idea of heaven and how I was struggling with the concept. As our discussion progressed, I disclosed and for the first time truly realized what I was seeking more than anything else in my relationship with Christ. It wasn't the promise of heaven, and even more than the forgiveness for all my sins. I wanted to be whole again. I told Darcy that I could remember a time in my innocence when all my values were intact and the world was black and white. Throughout our lives, we lose pieces of ourselves. We compromise our values, and the line between good and bad and right and wrong gets blurred, and all that's left is shades of gray. Two examples of such instances that I gave that night were, one, about 10 years ago, I had my own company. I did a lot of work for the city of Penticton. I had a large trencher, and our job was to trench lines in a baseball park for some city services. I was there when the city official was instructing my operator on what was to be done. The city official had informed us that there was a high voltage line right through the park, but not to worry about it, as the power had been shut off. He instructed my operator, who is a personal friend of mine, to trench right over the electrical line. I left the site, and later my operator trenched right over the electrical line, and as the trencher crossed the line, it caught it. What no one could have anticipated was that the electrical line ran all the way back to the electrical panel in a conduit. So when the trencher pulled on the line, it pulled the line all the way back into the panel. The breaker came loose inside the panel and arced on the positive terminal or on the hot terminal, charging the line. Fortunately, nobody was hurt, but there was considerable potential for that to happen. Because this was a city project, a near-miss report had been sent to WCB. I was called into a meeting with the city official and his department head. I was told that we've always enjoyed a good working relationship, and if I wanted it to continue that way, that if WCB came around for their investigation, I was to tell them that the city official had explicitly told my operator not to trench over the power line. That I didn't know what my operator was thinking, and when he did trench across the line. The instructions were to hand dig the power line for 1 meter either side. Of course, this wasn't true, except the part about having a good business relationship. The city was one of my largest clients. WCB never did investigate, that I'm aware of, anyways, and I honestly can't say what I would have done or said if they had, but that event still haunts me. What would I have done? Jeopardize my business and livelihood and tell the truth? Or sacrifice an employee and friend? The second event happened about 6 years ago. My family, Darlene, Hayden, Bronwyn, who was just an infant at the time, and Darlene's mother and I, were involved in an armed standoff with our neighbors when we lived up the mountain. The neighbors were tenants, and we knew the landlords who were our previous neighbors. The tenants were running a grow operation and had children that were neglected. Not neighbors that I was keen on having next door when I was working out of town. In talking to the landlords, we found out that the tenants hadn't paid rent in months and that the landlords were afraid to deal with it. I proposed that if they had the paperwork done, I would serve the eviction notice, which I did, and that led to a series of events that eventually ended up with the armed standoff. The tenants had been drinking and were upset about their eviction and targeted us as the reason. They fired shots across our property and yelling threats. We barricaded ourselves in our house with Darlene, her mother, and children upstairs, with me downstairs with my rifle. The neighbors didn't know I had a rifle, and I hoped to keep it that way. At one point, the tenants got in their truck and sped up and down their driveway a few times before entering our property. When I saw the truck coming down our driveway, I positioned myself behind a concrete chimney between the living room and kitchen. There was a small hole in the wall facing the entrance. As I crouched down behind the chimney, I clearly remember what was going through my mind. I had only 4 rounds in my magazine, and I didn't know how many of them were coming. My rifle had a flip-out bayonet, and I considered whether I should pull it out in case I ran out of ammunition. I was the only thing between them and my family. No, I wouldn't use the bayonet. If I did, they could see where I was shooting from. I'd keep the bayonet closed. So I had only 4 rounds. I had to make them count. I visualized the door opening and would squeeze off 2 shots right through the door, and I would save the other 2 rounds till I had a target. I went over that scenario 1,000 times while I knelt there, programming myself so I wouldn't have to think during whatever was to happen. Finally, there was a pounding on the door. Our dog, an English Mastiff, charged the door. I remember thinking, oh, great. Now I have to worry about Cedric getting in the way. Turns out Cedric charging the door scared them away. In the end, I never had to fire a shot. But in my mind, I had shot them 1,000 times while waiting. The whole incident lasted 2.5 hours until the police moved in. I suffered from post-traumatic stress and was fortunate to receive treatment from a therapist renowned in the field of victims of violence. In both of these examples, no action had actually been taken by me. Both instances challenged my morality and character, and neither resulted in a conclusive outcome of either. What would I have done if things had gone a little further? The line between right and wrong, forever distorted. A piece of me lost to each of these events. After returning home, after meeting with Darcy, I ate dinner. Everyone had already gone to bed, and I retired myself to a spare bed in the basement. There I contemplated the meeting with Darcy and what was said. That's when I realized I needed Christ, and now I knew all my own reasons why, and all that was left was a surrender. I listened to the song given to me by Anne all the way through for the first time. And this is that song.
Is it on? It is on. You can hear this? There we go.
While listening to that song, the surrender just happened. I laid there and wept for some time. And that feeling that I had had when I saw the light returned. I've told you how I stopped listening to the Bible and how when I first started listening to the Bible, I believed that being able to get through it would lead to some understanding. Well, exactly 1 week later, I decided I had to finish listening to the rest of the Bible. I didn't feel compelled to. I just felt I should get on with it, as I had been putting it off for a long time. Each time I start the app, it starts at the beginning of the last chapter I was listening to. Well, I started listening to it on my way home, not knowing how much there was left. 3 minutes later, it was over. I had actually stopped within a couple of minutes of the end, long enough for me to reach the understanding I was looking for. Since that time, I've been going through a transformation. Through prayer and contemplation with God and Jesus, I've begun acting with humility and compassion at a level I never even knew before. This has changed many aspects of my life, but none more than my relationship with God and my wife. As Darlene and the rest of my family can attest to, my relationship with Darlene is stronger than ever before. Not that we don't fight anymore, but much less frequently. And we have a solid foundation that we've never experienced before. We have far greater understanding of each other and communicate in ways we never have dreamt of. We can now love at a much deeper level and with greater trust and have learned to let go of the resentment from the past. We are healing together, and I am healing through my relationship with Christ. There is so much that I've dug up and shared with Jesus, so all those broken pieces can finally be put to rest. There's still a lot of digging to do. I'd like to leave you with one last song.